Welcome to NHL Draft Class. I'm Adam Kimmelman and Mike Morial. We're at the NHL Scouting Combine in Buffalo. It feels great to be back here, doesn't it?
It's been fantastic, Adam. Fantastic. I mean, just to be at the event again after a two-year hiatus, we've seen general managers, we've seen scouts walking around. Ross Mahoney from the Caps, we saw him. It's been great. I mean, and all the players are just excited to be here. Just to get the interviewing process done during the course of the week, Monday through Thursday. On Friday, we're going to go, most of them are going to be taking the VO2 max, the bike test. And then on Saturday, of course, we have a lot of the testing that's taking place. But for the most part, it's just great to be back at the event after missing out on 2 years.
And you can tell, like, we've seen a few GMs here, you know, Bill Guerin from the Wild, Kelly McCrimmon from the Golden Knights, Ken Hughes from the Canadiens, a few others. They look excited to be back here. Like, the scouts look excited to be back here. They look like they're enjoying this process of meeting all these players. The players certainly seem to be enjoying it. You know, we've talked to a few of them in the couple days we've been here, and they seem to have, you know, enjoyed going through these job interviews, which is, it's so weird to walk into a job interview and there's Steve Yzerman, there's, you know, Hockey Hall of Famers, guys who had legendary careers. Yeah, let's go interview with them. That sounds fun.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, when we talk to these players, Adam, right, the scouts tell us that the players are no longer robotic in their responses and what they're saying, what they're telling, how they're telling their stories. It's more of a free-flowing conversation. Of course, like you said, you're going to get the one or two questions that are out of the blue that may be thrown for a little bit of a loop. But they respond in the only way they know how. They're honest with their responses, candid, and that's all these scouts and general managers want.
So we're going to have Yuri Slavkovsky, the number one skater on Central Scouting's final ranking of international skaters here, coming up in a bit. But first, we're going to talk to Shane Wright, the number one skater on the North American list, projected to be the number one overall pick. So let's get to that interview with Shane Wright. Thank you for joining us today on NHL Draft Class from the NHL Scouting Combine. How have things been going for you so far?
It's been great so far. Really enjoyed it so far. I think a lot of interviews with teams, a lot of talking with teams and all that, but it's great to finally be here, finally get to talk to teams, get to know them a little better. So yeah, it's been great.
So how do you prepare for this? How do you get ready for this event between the interviews and the fitness testing? What did you do to sort of prepare yourself for what's coming?
Yeah, I think less preparation for like the interview kind of stuff. I think that's just more so just talk about yourself, just being yourself and just talk about yourself, just being yourself. Like, that's what all the teams want, is they want to get to know the you, like what, how you are as a person, what you are, what you're like off the ice, more so kind of preparation for the on-ice, or the not on-ice testing, but I guess the fitness testing and all that. I think there's more preparation that goes into that, just kind of running through practice drills, running through things to get ready for that, get ready for to try and get the best results possible for those tests.
Yeah, I was going to say, is there any anxiety at all when it comes to those tests? I mean, you hear all the horror stories about the bikes and the VO2 max, like entering this. Is that in the back of your mind, like, oh my gosh, Friday, Saturday, it's coming closer?
Not as much kind of horror story. I think just, you don't really look forward to doing the VO2 max test or the wind gate and all that. But, it's part of the process, part of being here. And, it's something that, has to be done. Teams like to know where you're at physically, where you're at with your conditioning and all that. So it's something that has to happen. But, you never really look forward to doing any of that stuff too much. But
did you happen to talk to any former NHL player or someone that's been drafted recently about what to expect at the combine?
I haven't really talked to any past players or past draft picks, but my agent Cam Stewart, he's been through the NHL process. He's played in the NHL before, and he kind of prepared me as to what I expect with interviews and what the day is going to look like, and kind of the process of what all this the interviews and the combine looks like.
So I want to go back to the bike test for a minute, because that's all everyone wants to always talk about. Did you try them? Have you tried them on your own with your trainer, either with your trainer, with your team, preseason, since the season ended? I'm just curious how you kind of prepped yourself physically for what's to come.
Yeah, I mean, you try to test out as best as possible. It's tough to kind of recreate exactly what it's going to be like, during the actual test. But, I've only had, a couple, I think just a week and a half, 2 weeks of off season. So I haven't had as much time to prepare for these as other guys have. But just kind of going in and, just trying to do as best as possible. Just, that's what they want. Those teams just want your best effort. They want your 100% effort. And that's what, I'm going to try to show through those tests there.
So, when did you, or are you still interviewing with Montreal? Is that coming up, or?
Yeah, my interview with Montreal is tomorrow afternoon.
Okay,
yeah,
so that would be June 1st. Today we're recording on May 31st. So, I understand that you did go out to dinner with the GM, the assistant GM. What was that like? How was the dinner and how was the conversation?
Yeah, it was great. It went really well, I think. Really got to know them really, a lot better. And, they asked me questions about, myself, my personality, and, got to know them better, got to, ask questions about the city, got to know it a little better. But, really happy with how it went. Obviously really, really great people over there, really, strong, really, really good people over there, great individuals. So, overall really, really happy with how it went.
So these interviews are sort of like job interviews, and we've all been on job interviews, but we've never walked in a room with a Hockey Hall of Famer doing the interview, whether it's Steve Yzerman or Joe Sakic or Cam Neely, a guy like that. When you walk in the room, you open the door and there those guys are sitting there. Is there like a little, oh my God, like, or are you kind of, do you not focus on that? Like what's the instant feeling like when you walk in a room and you're suddenly sitting with these guys who you've watched on TV, you've watched all the highlights, you've seen all the videos. What's it like walking in the room and seeing those guys there?
Yeah, it's pretty cool seeing those guys sitting there. I mean, it's guys that you idolize growing up. It's guys that are their position is where you want to get to. Their careers are what you want to potentially be. And it's pretty incredible seeing guys like that and them having those roles in those NHL teams. But going into those rooms, I think you're mainly focused on the interviews, not really focused on kind of who's talking or who the status of them. I think you're really just kind of focused on yourself, making sure that you're answering them properly, making sure that you're answering them to the best of your ability.
So speaking of answering them correctly, we always hear stories about weird questions, offbeat questions. I see you smiling already. What's the strangest question or most surprising question you've gotten so far?
I got asked what 25 times 25 was. So that was a little bit of a, caught me off guard a little bit, kind of put me on the spot there trying to do some mental math. But that was that's probably been the weirdest kind of question I've been asked so far.
Yeah. Did you get it right?
No, I didn't. I got it wrong. That's unfortunately.
All right. That's all right.
I guess another part of this whole combine experience is having an opportunity to meet other prospects that maybe you don't have that chance to over the course of a season. Have you been able to meet Yuri Slavkovsky, Logan Cooley, these guys, and maybe just sit down, have a drink with them, talk to them about how things are going, that type of thing?
Not a whole lot. No, I think a lot of the time your paths don't cross as much. I think everyone's got a different schedule here. Everyone's on a different time slot. So, it's tough to run to those guys and, it's tough to kind of interact with them because everyone's schedule is different. Everyone's, going different places at different times. So it's a little tougher to interact with those guys. Obviously I've seen them around, said hi and stuff, but haven't really had, big long conversations with them at all. But
so the flip side of that of those, you do have a teammate up here, Paul Ledwinski.
Edmonds,
two of them.
Edmonds too.
Okay.
Edmonds,
all right. Yeah. So you got a couple of guys up here. How has that helped like the stress level? Like to have guys that that you're friends with that you can sort of lean on. What was it like for you? What was it like for you? How much of a help has that been just while you're up here?
Yeah, no, it's been great. It's been awesome having, those guys with me. It's awesome, having those past relationships with the guys and, those teammates, those guys that, I've been with the entire year. It's nice having those guys with me. It's nice being able to go through this process because obviously it's new for all of us. It's new experiences with all this, being at the combine and having all these interviews. But it's been great having those guys here. I've known a couple of the other OHL guys from past tournaments or past seasons or whatever that may be. But it's definitely nice having two of my past teammates here for sure.
Jim, I'm curious your thoughts on. There's always been talk about writers, media members saying that there should be an on ice component to the combine. How do you feel about it? You like the way it is right now? Because during the course of the season, scouts, GMs, they see you, what you're able to do on ice. We have the CHL Top Prospects game. Do you think the way it is right now is the way it should be?
Personally, I think it is. I think that, what the combine is all about is getting to know the player off the ice. They've done all the research. They've come to games, watch how you play. They've determined what type of player you are on ice. So I think a lot of the idea and thought behind the combine is how is the person off the ice? How does the player act off the ice? What's he like around the team? What's he like, acting, around, strangers that he hasn't met before? How does he, hold himself and all those kind of things? So, and I think that, a lot of the time it's, they already know. They already know what you're like on the ice. I think they just really want to get to know as a person off the ice. So
I want to go back to the dinner with the Canadiens for a minute. Some pretty famous places around here. Did you go Anchor Bar, Chicken Wings for dinner, or what was it? Where did you guys go?
Went to Patina 250.
The Italian?
No, not as much Italian, I don't think.
Okay.
It's pretty, really nice restaurant, though. Really, really nice. I think it's at the down like connect to the Westin. Okay. I'm not sure, like 10 minutes down the road here, but yeah.
All right, so I want to shift gears for a minute. When we talked to you back at the Top Prospects game in Kitchener, I asked you what you would say to a GM if they asked you, why should we take Shane Wright with the number one pick? So I want to kind of turn that question a little bit. Now that we're close to the draft, what would it mean to you personally to be number one? To, you know, obviously, wherever you get drafted, you're going to play in the NHL, but what would it mean to you to be that number one guy?
Yeah, it would mean a lot to me. It would mean that, you know, all that effort, all that hard work, all those hours I put in, you know, finally paid off, I think. It's one thing to, you know, be draft number one and to have that honor, but another thing to actually, you know, take advantage of that and actually be a difference maker and be, you know, that franchise player that teams will expect with the first overall pick. So obviously it'd be a huge honor to be first. It'd be, I'd be incredibly honored, incredibly proud to be first. But I think, you know, what matters more is, you know, what you do after, what the work you put in after, and, you know, how you showcase yourself, you know, at training camps and development camps in the start of the season, and to ensure that, you know, you deserve on the spot on that team.
I had an opportunity to talk to your mom and dad, and they had glowing reports about you, by the way. But your mom, Tanya, she told me something that was really interesting, and I wanted to ask you. She said that one of the things that struck her when you were, you know, at an earlier age was, you know, you were always playing up a level in every league that you played. And it was, I guess, earlier this season or maybe last season where a fan came up, asked for an autograph, and you always, like, you're always there for the fans. What does that mean to you when you have fans come up to you asking for autographs or pictures? What does that mean to you as a player?
I mean, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool having, you know, people come up to me, you know, before a game or just kind of anywhere in, on the streets or whatever it kind of looks like. It's pretty cool having, you know, people come up to me. I mean, it's kind of, you know, something that as a kid you would do. You know, if you saw like a you know, top player around your area or top NHL player, you know, you'd want to go up to them. You want to, you know, ask for a picture. So, you know, to be on the flip side of that, have people ask for my pictures and autographs it's pretty cool. Yeah.
And speaking of top players, I understand or I heard that you have an autograph picture of Sid somewhere.
I do,
personalized? Did he personalize it?
He did, yeah.
What did he write on that?
He just said, "To Shane, good luck, keep working hard."
And how long ago was that?
I got that before my first year in Kingston, so okay. I've had it for a couple of years now.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
So wherever you end up going in the draft, do you feel you're ready to jump right into an NHL lineup? I mean, is there something that you want to work on, your offseason focus, to make sure you are ready to pull on an NHL sweater on October, whenever the season starts?
Yeah, I do believe that I can, you know, step into the NHL and truly make a difference. I think that, you know, that's the type of player I want to be. I want to make sure that I'm actually making a difference. I don't just want to, you know, be a player in the NHL, be kind of a guy that's just floating along. I want to make sure that, you know, I can be a difference maker and, you know, be a good, strong player in that league. And I think that I want to get a little faster this offseason. I want to get a little more physical, maybe add a little physical element to my game. And that, you know, kind of quickness, explosiveness as well. I think that's something that, you know, I would really benefit from, for sure.
So to that end, a lot of the scouts, when we talk to them, they compare you to Patrice Bergeron from the Boston Bruins. Do you like that? Do you see the comparison? Is that something you agree with? Or is there a player that maybe you think is more personifies the kind of player you're going to be?
No, I love the Bergeron comparison. I think he's a guy that I love watching. I love comparing myself to the way he plays. You know, really fun to watch. He just, you know, he plays in all situations. He does a lot of different things right, and you know, he's a leader as well. He's a guy that I like watching, and you know, really good role model for me as well.
Shane, was there any pressure on your back knowing that you were one of eight to be given the exceptional status for the Canadian Hockey League? I know it's, you know, the list of players there is unbelievable, including Connor McDavid. But was there pressure on you to perform immediately and kind of do that year in, year out, that type of thing?
Yeah, for sure. There's always going to be those pressures. There's always going to be those expectations on you. I think that, you know, just that just kind of comes along with, you know, the status, comes along with, you know, the type of person and type of, you know, career that I've had so far is, you know, people expect you to play well. People expect you to perform, and I wouldn't want it any other way. I think I'd always. This is the position I want to be in. This position that, you know, I've worked hard to be in all year and, you know, throughout my entire life. So I wouldn't want any other way.
And the other thing too that I think is really interesting is, as a rookie for Kingston, you wore a letter, right? You wore an A, which I think is unbelievable for a young man. And you know, you did so well your rookie season, the awards you accumulated there as well. What does it mean to you to be a leader on the team, to wear an A or to wear a C?
It means a lot. It means that, you know, your coach and teammates trust in you and trust in, you know, the type of person, type of player you are. I think that, you know, know, being a leader means that, you know, you have to be a role model. You have to be a guy who's working hard, is a guy that's, you know, encouraging and pushing those other guys to always be better. Because, you know, as a leader, you know, those guys look up to you. Those guys, you know, look up to what you do, and, you know, they follow and feed off what you do and your energy and all that. So, you know, just really honored to be and proud to be, you know, be named assistant captain my first year, and then, you know, lucky enough to be named captain this past year as well.
So speaking of your season in Kingston, I know maybe it didn't end the way you wanted it to, but you got to do something that not a lot of people get to do. Series clinching, playoff overtime goal, first round against Oshawa. Can you take us through the whole moment, the goal, the celebration afterward, the partying in the locker room? Can you kind of take us into that moment for us?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a scenario you kind of, you dream up as a kid is, you know, a series clinching goal in overtime. I think that, you know, the way Oshawa tied it as well before that with, you know, a second left on the clock was, you know, pretty shocking. So we definitely went in the room, you know, pretty shocked before overtime. But, you know, we had confidence in ourselves. We had confidence that we would pull it out. And I think that, you know, it just kind of, the puck just kind of came to me. I shot it and, you know, went in and then just kind of, I don't even remember, you know, my celly or what I did. I just kind of, you know, reacted and, you know, jumped into my teammates' arms and, you know, just celebration, just, you know, pure happiness and joy, you know, with, you know, a situation like that. So yeah, it's pretty special.
Talk a little about your competitive family. It's an athletic type family. You know, I know your mom, your dad, your brothers, sisters. Talk a little bit about that whole dynamic.
Yeah. My family is definitely competitive. I mean, my dad was, you know, pretty competitive soccer player growing up. He played varsity soccer at University of Guelph in Ontario, and my sister plays for University of Waterloo as well. And you know, I always, you know, kind of compete against them growing up. Always, you know, play mini six with my dad, or play, you know, road hockey in the driveway, or you know, play soccer with my sister, or whatever it was, basketball. You always kind of just competing with them, always trying to you know, just push each other, have fun. I mean, that was, you know, kind of what my childhood looked like. You know, lots of sports, lots of activities, and you know, lots of fun. You know, competing against them a lot. So
I understand too that you've recently tried the guitar.
Yes,
you tried. So how did this all come about? Like, how did someone, you know, was it a band, a group, or something that you saw? You said, "Hey, I want to try this." Or did someone just give you the guitar?
No, yeah. So a couple of my teammates in Kingston actually play the guitar as well. So you know, they're showing me videos and, you know, tell me all about it and how much they enjoy it. So I figured, you know, it'd be kind of a cool thing to learn how to do. So I went out, bought my own guitar, and you know, my billet dad there in Kingston, he knows a little bit about guitars too.
Nice.
So he helped show me, you know, some of the basics, and just kind of self, you know, teaching myself, you know, different chords and different progressions, and, you know, learning a couple songs here and there. But yeah, it's fun. I love it. It's a lot of fun.
It's like a lot of practice. You gotta, mm-hmm. if you have a guitar on it, you gotta practice. I mean, I tried it twice over.
Yeah.
And I put it down for a couple months, and I'm done.
No,
so,
I can't.
Good for you.
I never tried it. What's the song do you feel the most comfortable playing if you had to play in public?
I can do Fast Car by Tracy Chapman pretty well.
Nice.
A little finger picking. I can do The Girl by City and Color as well.
Okay.
Kind of a couple songs. Do some country songs as well that I like. But
yeah, but can you do Happy Birthday? I can do that.
I actually can't do Happy Birthday. No. So you're up on me there, but.
So I want to ask you, Mike kind of alluded to this earlier with the pressure that's been on you, but you've been in the spotlight for a long time, going back to 14, 15 years old, but I'm sure you're used to it, but how do you kind of, everybody's got to get away from it, disconnect, kind of drop off the grid for a little bit. What is your thing? How do you kind of, I guess maybe the guitar is part of that, but how do you sort of disconnect and get away from all the noise?
Yeah, the guitar is definitely a huge part in that. I think it's definitely no really good way for me to kind of, like you said, disconnect from all that outside noise, and just kind of, you know, forget about everything for a little bit and just kind of focus on, you know, myself and playing and, you know, playing songs and all that. I also really like to golf. That's always something, not always, but I think the last couple of years have really, you know, picked it up a lot more and really enjoy playing golf and kind of, you know, just focusing on the course, just focusing on playing rather than, you know, worry about what's going on outside. So
it's good.
Who has been most influential for you, Shane? I mean, as far as an instructor, a coach, or maybe a former teammate of yours that has really helped you along the way, guided you to the point where you are now?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to pick one guy. I think there's, you know, the support system I had my entire life has been really good. I think, you know, my agents, Cam Stewart, Kurt Overhart, really do a good job of, you know, mentoring me, and, you know, they've experienced everything before. I mean, Cam is played in the NHL before. He knows what it's like to be there, knows what it takes. And, you know, he's got many connections to people. He knows so many people. And, you know, they both do a great job mentoring me, both do a great job, you know, kind of show me what's going to happen, kind of, you know, prepare me for what's going to happen, what's going to, you know, what's going to be happening in the future. And, you know, they also, you know, help me, you know, be better. They help, you know, also push me though. So, you know, want the best for me, but, they've really been, you know, beneficial in, you know, my success so far.
And Flint forward, Brennan Othman, who you play with, Don Mills, you grew up 2-3 years together. You guys were line mates there, had the great success, with that club. New York Rangers draft pick. Mm-hmm. You might be playing against him in 2-3 years. Who knows? But talk a little about Brennan and what he's meant, the friendship you guys share.
Yeah, yeah. Brennan, he's, you know, one of my best buds, I think. Just that bond we created, you know, throughout minor hockey is, you know, still pretty relevant today. I think he's always, you know, been a guy I can trust, always been a guy that, you know, I can talk to. And he was a great player as well. He was a fun player to play with, really smart guy. And, you know, I've been lucky enough to have, you know, friends like that and other friends, you know, other buddies and past teammates who have, you know, been high draft picks and have, you know, gone through this process before. So, you know, just really lucky enough to have those guys as friends of mine.
You share the same birthday with him?
We do. Yeah. January 5th. Yeah.
Wow. Nice. I want to go back to Montreal for a minute. We were kind of sitting here, kind of dawned on me. So Montreal wins the lottery, you know, did you kind of pay a little bit more attention to them, what they were doing, their players, how their roster looked, how Marty St. Louis was as a coach, kind of the style he wanted them to play? And did you have questions when you went to dinner with the Canadiens to say, hey, I watched this in how you play and I like this, or maybe why do you do that? What was the experience just when you kind of learned a little bit about what they're all about on the ice right now with the team?
Yeah, I mean, I was definitely, you know, paying attention to, you know, what their team is doing, obviously, with the hiring of Marty St. Louis. And I think that, you know, based off what I've read, you know, the players love playing for him. I think that... no, he's someone who the players love playing for. He's someone who the players trust as well, and that can, you know, really, you know, help impact players, help, you know, really bring those young guys. I mean, they have a lot of young talent on their team, I think, you know, but there's also, you know, a deep team as well, a deep veteran team. You know, they went to the Stanley Cup Finals, you know, just last year. So I think that, you know, they have really, you know, they have a lot of capabilities, a lot of good players in place, and definitely, you know, asked a lot of questions about that. We really want to talk to them about that at the dinner, but you know, definitely, you know, really, really exciting franchise for sure.
Have you met Marty? Was he at the dinner, or have you met him on any sort of other Zoom you might have done with the Canadiens?
Haven't really met him. Actually, I have met him before. I used to play against him when I was younger. I used to play against him and his son. He used to coach.
Oh, wow.
His son's team back in minor. So I actually played against him a couple times, but no, he wasn't at the dinner last night. But I have met him before.
So, yeah. What kind of a coach was he when you're growing up?
Well, they're always a good team we played against. So he's always a tough team to play against for sure. So I'm sure he instills that in his guys nowadays. So,
Shane, kind of just a quick follow up to what Adam was asking. Like, obviously, teams at the combine do research on the players that they want to interview, they want to learn more about. But when you were coming in here, knowing that the Canadiens, Devils, and Arizona Coyotes had the top three picks, did you want to do research on those clubs to see what they're all about, what their farm systems look like, maybe the style of play based on what the coaches are stressing on those clubs? Is that something that you kind of looked into too, about the clubs in general?
For sure. Yeah. You always want to, you know, like you said, it, you know, as potential landing spots, I think that, you know, you always want to be prepared. You always want to, you know, think ahead and, you know, be proactive that way with, you know, what's it like in that city? What are those cities like? What are their structures like? You know, the coaches, you know, what players do they have? What players do they have in their systems? I think all those things are relevant. All those things can, you know, make a big difference. So it's definitely, you know, stuff I looked at for sure.
Well, this has been great, Shane. Thank you so much for joining us today on NHL Draft Class.
Yeah, thank you guys very much. Appreciate it.
Mike, that was amazing stuff with Shane Wright. 20 minutes he sat with us. There's a lot to unpack there. What stood out to you from some of the things he talked about?
Well, you know, first off, going to the restaurant, right? Patina 120-145. I mean, we got some great stuff there. I was wondering, I agree with you, Adam. You asked him, like, was it Italian? Like, we not really sure.
I've heard of a lot of restaurants up here, but, you know, that was a new one to me. But it sounds, I mean, like, look, if he's going there with the Montreal Canadiens, you know it's going to be a high-end upscale. He's not going, like, I asked him the Anchor Bar, like, kind of as a joke. Yeah. No offense to the wonderful people of Buffalo and the Anchor Bar, but, like, you know, maybe they go a little bit more upscale, and I guess they did. But I found really interesting is that, you know, he did his homework on the Canadiens. Like, you know, we asked him, did you look into their roster? Did you look into how they play? And did you look into Marty St. Louis and his coaching style? And he told us some pretty interesting stuff there.
Yeah, he did. And to be quite honest with you, Adam, I think we're still in agreement that Shane Wright is the number one pick in this draft. the best. You know, for me personally, I just think the IQ and the smarts are what kind of set him apart mostly. I mean, we know about the two-way forward and how dynamic a player he is, but just the brain and what he's able to bring to the ice is something that really puts Shane over the top of all the other prospects eligible for the 2022 draft.
We both think Shane Wright's going to go number one. We also both think Yuri Slavkovsky is going to go number two. Slavkovsky's number one international skater in Central Scouting's final rankings. Now, we had a chance to sit down with Yuri, learned a lot of things about him, including why he left Slovakia to move to Finland and play in Liga. So let's get to that interview with Yuri Slavkovsky. How do you prepare for this? Do you spend more time worrying about the fitness testing at the end of the week or the interview process here in the beginning?
It's more about the meetings because I don't do the testing since I had the long season. So Okay. Only thing I worry about is those meetings and everything. So, yeah, basically.
And with those meetings, how has it been? I mean, what seems to be the most popular question being asked of you? Like, what do scouts in general want to know the most popular question?
I would say the most popular question is, like, why I moved to the Finland mm-hmm. when I was younger. And I think everyone asked me this question when I was at the interviews.
Yep.
What's your answer when you tell them, why did you choose to play in Finland?
So it's actually about because I felt like my skating is not at a good level and I was thinking to going to play some like harder league so I can actually make my skating better. And yeah, that's I think the main reason why I moved. And also like I wanted to like try to live alone and all that stuff around.
Grow up a little bit, be on your own.
Yeah.
Now you've been in Finland for 3 years now, right?
Yeah, it's my third year.
How difficult has that been? I mean, coming from Slovakia, leaving your family and doing, I mean, obviously you, like you said, you want to become a better hockey player, but you're a little homesick, a little bit?
At the beginning, yeah, but I see all of my friends like going out and my family hanging around together, and of course I miss them, but yeah, that's what I choose, and if I want to be best I can be, then I have to do this for it.
So I want to go back to the combine while we're here for a minute. You walk into a room and all these scouts and all these GMs, and some of them are like Steve Yzerman and Joe Sakic and guys who are in the Hockey Hall of Fame. Is it intimidating at all when you walk in a room and you like wow, these guys are legend of the game, or does it not even really register with you?
Of course, I think of that a little bit, that those guys really played good hockey and they are legends right now. But that, like, I would say, only motivates me, like, when I see them, that they had a good career. And I think they also have been in my position, mm-hmm. but many years ago, and they know what I'm going through. And yeah, of course, it's like, it's also like fun because you don't see those guys walking on the streets every day, and it's so nice that I can meet them in here.
When you're walking through the hallways here of KeyBank Center, you know, going into your interview rooms, do you kind of like peek at the names of other prospects just to find out who you're coming close to? Like maybe it might be a Logan Cooley, or it could be a Shane Wright, just to say hello, see what he looks like, that type of thing?
Actually, I of course I know the best guys. I don't know every guy. I think no one knows every guy. So yeah, sometimes I check, but usually we always just say hi and we go past. And of course I know also a couple Finnish guys, so I spoke with them, and I think that's it.
Yeah,
I know you said you're not going to do the fitness testing here because of how long your season went, but are you is there a little bit of disappointment because you would like to show what kind of physical conditioning you're in? Or because you've heard some of the horror stories about how hard it is, especially with the bike test, that you're like, it's okay. I don't need to do them.
So it's like, yeah, I would like to do that and show myself. But I think there are also like tests when I, for example, come for a camp in the summer. Mm-hmm. So and there will be tests. So they won't know what should they expect. And if I will make the tests good, then yeah, I think it's going to be just good.
You look even more impressive.
Yeah.
So you're going to meet with these teams. If one of them asks you, why should we take Yuri with the number one pick of the draft? What do you say to them?
I would say because I already played men's hockey and I know how it works in a men's hockey, and I can play physical or I can play both ways, and if I get a good chance and trust from the coach, I can also and the main thing is that I can score and create something.
So you're going to be drafted somewhere probably, but what would it mean to you personally to be the first player born in Slovakia to be taken number one in the NHL draft? Is that something that means a little bit more to you because of what it would mean personally, what it would maybe mean to future Slovakia hockey players that you're a guy that they can look to? If he did it, I can do it.
Yeah, for sure. It would be nice if I get to go first overall, but I take it more like it doesn't really matter like when I get drafted, but where, and if I get the chance to play the NHL and like as soon as possible, and then I can show in there at the end. There can be like third or fourth pick, even better than the first, and that's the important thing for me.
Do you feel as though you are NHL ready, Yuri? I know that's a tough question for an 18-year-old player, but do you feel as though when you watch the NHL that you can have an impact?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
I played with the men's. I played with in the Olympics, in the World Champs, and I played against Canada, and I felt pretty good. Of course, there is always the things to work on, but I think if I can like adapt to the NHL hockey as soon as possible, that would be only good for me. And yeah,
if there was one quality that maybe scouts, fans don't know enough about that, you know, you possess, what would be that quality that you want them to definitely know about you?
That it's hard to take the puck away from me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I want to go back to the NHL readiness kind of angle. And you said there are things that you need to do to make even better than you are now. What are things that you're going to focus on in your offseason training once you kind of get that back into gear to make sure that whoever drafts you says, yes, we're putting you in the lineup October 1st or whenever next season starts?
Like right now, basically, I think I will work on everything, like off the ice, for example, upper body and my speed, and so I'm really ready when the chance come, and also like on the ice some little more skill and like some quick turns and all that skill in also in the skating. So yeah, just try to work on everything, and also yeah, just make sure that I'm ready when the chance come.
You had such a great Olympics, MVP, the World Championship. You followed that up. That was another outstanding tournament for your country. Which tournament do you feel as though you performed the best?
I would say the Olympics. Yeah. Like we got the medal, and I somehow managed to score that goals. And yeah, it was a great time, and also the celebrations after I enjoyed, and yeah, just everything was so nice in there.
So you're the youngest guy in that Olympic tournament. What were your expectations for like how much you would play, how much ice time you would get going into it? And when did the coaches sort of realize, okay, we need to give you more and more and more?
I think we were like fourth line, and mm-hmm. So we had to first like defend good and do those little things, finish the checks and make all the work that maybe people don't see on the TV, but scouts, they know what we are doing. But yeah, I think then I somehow managed to score for two goals in the first game, and then I kept scoring. So, and then they maybe were like, yeah, if it's going in after he shoots, then maybe we should give him a chance and use him more. Yeah, and then luckily I got to play with best players in Slovakia, and it was fun.
How has Craig Ramsey changed the dynamic of Slovakian hockey when he came in a few years ago? Obviously, it seems as though he's allowing the skilled players like yourself, the physical players like yourself, to really stretch their legs, to do what they can do, what makes them, you know, shine. What has Craig Ramsey done for your game?
Yeah, he did a lot, because I was like, when I was coming to the national team, I was like kind of like doing what the system says and didn't add too much to my game. But yeah, he was like of course, do the little things good, but add something to your game and just bring and show who you are on the ice for real. And that's what helped me. And either it's not always working, sometimes it just doesn't work. And he was still like, yeah, he calls me shooter, so...
He called you shooter.
Yeah, he always believed in me that I will score one day, and yeah, it actually happened. So yeah. I'm so happy that I met him.
So the coach gives you that much confidence, then you have the success that you have. How much did that impact you when you got back to TPS to help you even have more confidence when you're playing in Liga to even have a better second half of the season?
It was, I think, very good for me that I got that much confidence at the Olympics, and also like coaches like saw it in the TPS, and they gave me more chance, and I think they started to trust me more, and that was important, because until the Olympics I didn't really play that much, and I was like more like third, fourth line, and that's like nobody likes that. Yeah.
Right.
And yeah, then I got to play in a power play, and I played it with the better players, and yeah, we managed to score and create, so I think it was good.
Your mom was a competitive swimmer. Your sister's a competitive swimmer. How come Yuri is not a swimmer? Or are you a swimmer?
No, I'm not a swimmer.
You're not a swimmer.
Yeah. When I was younger, my mother, she was like, yeah, you will be a swimmer. You are a big guy. You will be a swimmer. But no. Just wait until my sister grow up and then she can be a swimmer.
So do you play any other sports besides hockey? Or did you when you were growing up?
I just played floorball, mm-hmm. So it's basically with the stick, but of the ice, I think it was pretty good because it got me some skill also, and no, nothing else. I'm not good with the ball, but yeah.
So obviously you want to get to the NHL, but you've watched NHL games, I'm sure. Is there anybody at the next level that you watch to sort of either pattern your game after, or you want to take things from certain guys to kind of bring into your game?
I try to like take something from every guy, but I think I like the way Mikko Rantanen is playing. He's playing a very good game, and I think I try to like look a little bit like him on the ice and copy him. But yeah, I like a lot of players in NHL, and they are all good, and just try to take a little bit from everyone.
When you're growing up, when you first started getting on the ice, were you an immediate, I love hockey, I don't want to do anything else? Or were you kind of like a little, maybe not into the skating as much?
No, I just loved hockey. And always what my parents say is that when they got me on the ice first time, my eyes were shining, and they knew that they are not taking me away from the ice. So, yeah, it has always been like that.
Were you always a forward, or did you play any other positions?
No, just forward. I always wanted to score some nice goals, so I didn't even think of D-man or horn or goalie, no.
Yuri, thank you very much for joining us on NHL Draft Class. Continued success at the Combine, and best of luck at the draft.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
Mike, there was a lot there at Yuri Slafkovsky, a lot of great stuff. What was some of your biggest takeaways from what Yuri said?
Well, the first thing that really caught my attention was when, you know, I asked him, is he NHL ready? He kind of smiled, laughed, and he said, yeah, I think I'm ready.
Of course I am.
Right? Yeah, of course I'm ready. And we've heard this, right, Adam, from some scouts, from what we've watched ourselves on video. This is a powerful skater, and he's physically ready. We've heard Dan Marr from Central Scouting when we had Dan on NHL Draft Class to discuss the final rankings. We've had Goran Stube on as well to discuss Slafkovsky. They both agree that physically, Yuri Slafkovsky is ready for the NHL. Now, obviously, there's things that need to improve, but he feels what Yuri was saying was that he can get the puck. It's hard to take the puck away from him. He stressed that. You can't. What are you going to tell a GM that, you know, potentially wants to draft you? Hey, no player can take the puck away from me. I'm the strong guy here.
Well, when you're 6'3" and 218 pounds as a barely turned 18-year-old, imagine what he's going to look like when he gets with an NHL strength and conditioning coach. He might even still grow a little bit more height-wise. Can you imagine him at 6'4" and 220, 225 pounds with the skating, the skill set, the hands, the ability? I mean, yeah, he might not be an all-star when he steps in the lineup, but, man, you can see the potential just oozing out of him. MVP at the Olympics, 9 points in 6 games at the World Championship, dominant player at the Olympics, dominant player at the World Championship against fully grown, developed men. I'd be confident too if I was sitting where he sat.
And dedicated, right?
Yeah.
He's been in Finland for 3 years, you know, living outside of his homeland in Slovakia. And when I asked him about that, are you homesick? You know, he looked, he said, well, yeah, I mean, you miss your home, but this is what I want to do. I want to be a professional hockey player. And in order to do that, I need to do this. And he's showcasing his ability internationally all over the place. And he was able to do that too, you know, in Finland, in Liga, Finland's top division. Playoffs, he was out of this world in the Liga playoffs.
Right. Well, there's a maturity there, right? Like, they all know what this guy can do on the ice. But then when you look at all the peripheral stuff, who he is, what he is, leaving home at 14, 15, because he just turned 18 last month? Yeah. You know, leaves home, goes to live in another country, speak another language. I mean, it's not like he went around the corner. He went from Slovakia to Finland. That's a trip. And, you know, he learned English, speaks a little Finnish, can understand his teammates well enough, but he's living on his own. That's a level of maturity that, like, look, we both have kids. I can't imagine my kid going to live in another country where they didn't speak the language. You know, for him to do that, that speaks volumes about what kind of person he is, and then you add in what kind of a player he is. Yeah, to me, he might be the most NHL-ready player in this year's draft, and he's got a chance to have a huge future in the NHL.
Absolutely.
It was great talking to Wright. It was great talking to Slafkovský. We have another episode of NHL Draft Class coming up here from the NHL Scouting Combine, where we'll talk to one of the best stories of the draft, Jack Hughes, son of Montreal Canadiens GM Kent Hughes, as well as Logan Cooley, another player that potentially could be the number one pick in the draft. And if you want more insight on the NHL Scouting Combine, we spoke to David Gregory, Senior Manager of Central Scouting, who gave an inside look at how the Combine works. And then you can go back and check out all of our previous episodes with all the great guests we've had.
Looking forward to the next episode of Draft Class. Looking forward to the rest of the Combine.
Absolutely. And you can find NHL Draft Class anywhere you get your podcast. Free to download, free to subscribe. Please leave us a 5-star rating. Tell us how much you love us. But for now, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.